A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it, and even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The Word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, recall the end of our reading from Genesis. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. This verse is often used to talk about guilt, sometimes having to do with human sexuality. But a recent evolutionary perspective on the Adam and Eve myth by the Jesuit Father Joseph Fitzpatrick suggests that the shame experienced by the first couple should be interpreted not as guilt, but rather as shyness. This implied shyness signifies, from an evolutionary perspective, a new human status, the development of consciousness, the development of free will, and thus now the freedom to sin. The Church reminds us today that we indeed have inherited a shameful disposition to sin. Paul tells us in the 5th chapter of Romans, sin has always been in the world. Indeed, temptation is a constant reminder of our surviving evolutionary passions, what one commentator has called our lizard legacy. My friends, if temptation is an all too real, day-to-day thrust into our humanity, I would suggest that so is our ability to resist our evolutionary urges. As Christians, we believe that we are made in the image of God. God who promises to stand with us during our temptations. This is the God that stood with Jesus during his temptations in the 4th chapter of Matthew. Christ is the model of overcoming our temptations. Christ is the model for the development of consciousness to conscience, for the development of law to righteousness. Jesus becomes our model in order to resist temptation. And therefore, seeking to emulate Jesus, we must pray for the grace to overcome all our embedded evolutionary impulses that lead us toward sinfulness. It is indeed possible to go beyond our evolutionary past to a Christ-centered future. It is God, it is Jesus the God-man, that will provide us the grace for all of our needs as we attempt to fight the evolutionary urges